Well, our scripture reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 4. And after we read Galatians, we will read Lord's Day 9. Lord's Day 9, which is found on page 16. So Galatians first. Galatians chapter 4. We'll be reading the first 7 verses of Galatians this evening. Galatians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. People of God, this is God's very word. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. There ends the reading of God's word. We'll jump to Lord's Day 9. One question and answer this evening. Question 26. I'll read the question if you could respond with the answer. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ his Son. I trust so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he's a faithful Father. Yeah. So last week, we were shown how the Apostles' Creed was broken down, if you remember, if you were here. It was broken down into 3 sections, and each section was a member of the Trinity. Right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And though the Trinity is a mystery, we needed to look at it, didn't we? We needed to look at and see how we could go wrong with the Trinity. If we started to make all these illusions about it, try to figure it out what it was, we saw that it only led to heresy. But we needed to know what it was because that's who our triune God is. And within these 3 sections of the Apostles' Creed, there are the 12 articles we need to learn from. We need to know who God the Father is. We need to ponder each article. We got to think about when we say, I believe. Do you? Do we just say these words over and over again? It just becomes repetition? Or do we really understand? You know, we say these words almost every week, don't we? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We confess these words out loud. And the question for us this evening is, what do you believe when you say these? So today, we're going to jump in to this article. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. There's going to be 3 points this evening. Number 1, God, the Almighty Father. Number two, God, the loving Father. And number three, God, the faithful Father. God, the Almighty Father. And I think about this morning when we talked about from 1 Peter, how these Gentile Christians, when they came to the Lord, they became believers. And they were told, God's your Father now. And how that must have made them feel. God, the Almighty Father. God, the loving Father. That God loved them so much that He would send His Son for them. God, the faithful Father. God is never going to leave us alone. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Our God never falls asleep and doesn't wake up. Right? We need to make a big deal about this. About God being our Father. It's something we're so used to it. We just say it all the time. But we need to sit and stop and just think and ponder what goes in with this. Because remember, before we came to Christ, you were actually sons and daughters of Adam. Scripture calls us the children of wickedness. Now, you weren't in the kingdom. There's only one question and answer this evening, and we should just dive into it deep. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Now I'm going to read the answer again, just so we can listen to it. That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by His eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ His Son. My God and Father. I trust Him so much that I do not doubt He will provide whatever I need for body and soul. Do you believe that? Some nights when you lay in bed and you think, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay the bills next month. I don't know how I'm going to feed my kids. I trust Him so much that I do not doubt that He will provide whatever I need, body and soul. And He will turn to my good whatever adversity He sends me in this sad world. We're going to touch on that idea that He sends me adversity. One thing that we want to see this answer is how true faith really comes alongside this and helps us along. True faith that we learned back in question and answer 21, how it's being applied to our belief. If you remember, true faith dealt with knowledge and conviction, as well as a deep-rooted assurance. That deep-rooted assurance, without a doubt. Do we have that? Because we're going to see both of those in this answer about God the Father Almighty. We believe that He's the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you can believe any of this is if you have true faith. Because you could repeat this all you want your whole life. Your entire life, you could come to church every Sunday and repeat, I believe in God the Father Almighty. But do you really? Do you really? I think one of the things that we don't do enough is just to stop. We're just go, 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 go. That's what we are as a people. We go. We want to keep going. But when it comes to what we believe in God, do we just do it at a repetition, or do we think, whoa, let's slow down a little bit? Who is this God? Who is this eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Right? There never was a time when the Son was not. It was always the Father and the Son. He was with God the Father. And then there's the Holy Spirit. If we go back to last week, I know last week was tough. Remember last week about the Trinity? That was a tough Lord's Day. But we learned that we worship a God who is in constant and eternal relationship with Himself, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They've always been together. That's why the Apostles' Creed uses that word eternal. So when we say that we believe in God the Father Almighty, in that belief, we are saying that He is the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because another problem we have in churches today is that we just focus solely on Jesus. But we want to stop thinking about the Father tonight. What He has done. And what does it say He's done? He created the heavens and the earth. And not only did He create them, but what did it say? He made them out of nothing. Let me say that again. God made everything out of nothing. If you went into a science classroom today, they would laugh at you if you said something like that. The theological term is that He created ex nihilo. Nothing. There was nothing. He didn't take some goo and put it together. No. Our God spoke, and all things came to be. So when we think of that word nothing, it's kind of hard for our minds to comprehend that, isn't it? No matter, no atoms, no molecules, nothing. Our minds can't really comprehend nothing. You know, science tells you there must have been something. No, Scripture says nothing. Scripture says God spoke. So we can imagine barrenness. We can think of a desert that's just empty for miles and miles. Right? We can even think of space. Space is huge. Have you ever stopped and think about space? The billions and billions of miles between things? Nothingness. I think that's the closest our minds could handle nothing. But out of this nothing, not the nothing in space, but nothing, God created all things visible and invisible. As the Nicene states, we read that tonight. We confessed that tonight, didn't we? So everything that we can see and we cannot see, God made. Now, boys and girls, I'm trying not to be spooky here. The invisible things that God made. But think about angels. Think about demons. God made them. Right? In the Old Testament, here's a story that we need to remember about these invisible things that God created that we don't ever think about. There's a story about Elisha and his servant. I think we've all heard this story. And the king of Syria sent a great army and all these chariots to destroy Elisha. And they find out where he's staying and they surround him. In the morning, Elisha's servant opens the door and thinks, oh boy, we are in trouble. All they could see is enemy soldiers and chariots. Let me read it to you. 2 Kings. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning, he went out. Behold, an army of horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? I probably would have said other things. It would have been a scary moment. What's Elisha say? Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. That servant's like, I just opened the door and it was just the enemy. What are you talking about, Elisha? Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Invisible things have been made by God. Angels, demons. Everything's created. Everything that's ever been created by God the Father Almighty. See, the world wants to tell us that there's always been good and evil. There's always been something. But that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what we believe. Right? That's the question we're going back to. What do you believe? No, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created all things visible and invisible. Jeremiah tells us this, Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. I want to say that to the scientists these days. Nothing's too hard for our God. He doesn't need anything to make anything. It's God the Father Almighty. And then our catechism goes to who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence. You know, Lord's Day 10, we're going to get into the providence of God. That's next week. So I don't want to steal the thunder of next week or no one will come. But the one thing I want to say is that this crushes all the deists who think that God made everything and then just walked away. Because that's what a deist is. Someone who believes in a God. Yes, there's a God, but he's not around anymore. You ever heard of the watchmaker? I think we've all heard of the watchmaker. That's what God's this ultimate watchmaker where he makes this beautiful watch, he winds it up, he sets it down, and then he walks away. That's not our God. I hope you don't believe in that God. You know, a lot of people say, I will believe that there's a God, that he created everything. But look at the world today. There's no way that he's still around. That's a sad thought to have, isn't it? But that's what deists believe. That's not a God we believe in. I hope that's not a God you believe in. It says, our God still upholds and rules by his eternal counsel and providence. And like I said, we're going to learn a lot more about providence next week, Lord willing. So let's jump to our second point this evening. So our first point was God, the Father Almighty. And now our second point is God, the loving Father. Continuing with the answer in the catechism. Because of Christ, his Son, I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need, body and soul. Again, this part of the answer goes back to having true faith. The second thing that we have true faith is this deep-rooted assurance. In this answer, we so trust as to have no doubt. There's a lot of things that I can doubt in, that we could all doubt in. But I hope we never doubt God. I hope when we read Scripture and we hear these promises, we see these promises, that we don't doubt that he could do these things. Because our God is so much bigger than us. Our God loves us so much more than we can even understand or comprehend. And the moment we start doubting these promises is the moment we slowly walk away from him. No. God is our loving Father. Because for Christ's sake, of what Christ has done, he loves us now. The Father looks at us and says, that's mine. Going back to this morning, going back to 1 Peter, I really want to hammer that thought. that idea that these Gentile Christians are literally part of God's family now. You are part of God's family now. You don't need to be a son of Abraham by blood. No, by faith, true faith. The Father loves you because of Christ. You know, and I want to pause for a little bit, and that word Father might be a trigger word for some of us. I know that's a new popular term today, trigger. But the idea is behind that is when you hear words, you go, ooh, that hurts. Ooh, that one stings. And that word Father might be that for you. All the fathers in this room, you want what's best for your children. You would do anything for them. But we're human, aren't we? And sometimes we fail. I'll be the first to admit it. Or if you're sitting out there and you hear that word Father and it puts a bad taste in your mouth. Some of us have never had a father figure. Some of us don't know what that is to have that father praise for them at the dinner table. Or tucks them into bed and prays for them. They never had that. They don't know what that is. And so they hear this word Father and they're like, I don't know what that is. What is a loving father? We don't know what the benefits are of having a father that loves us. Some of us might have great dads. Go home and thank them. Tell them you love them. See, that word father is a mixed bag. But not with God. Not with God. God's the loving father. God loves you no matter what. When you fall on your face, God doesn't turn his back or say, well, that's my kid. No, he walks over and picks you up, dusts you off, and says, you're mine. See, he's a father who loves you so much, he'll provide all things for you, body and soul. This is this doctrine of adoption that we hear about all the time. He's our God and Father because of Christ. And that's where we get to our text this evening of Galatians. I wanted to really read this tonight and try to make a point with Galatians chapter 4 because we really need to know this. Who we are, we're His. And that's what it says in Galatians chapter 4. Now I say, this is what Paul writes to the Galatians, I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ from a slave, though he's the master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. What Paul's getting at here is that while we were under the law was our guardian. The law ruled us. See, in the Greek and Roman world, even if you were heir to the house, you were still a slave. The father ruled. You were a nobody. You had no rights. You would be taken care of just as the slaves were. Until one day, the father said, oh, now's the time. You're my son. Now that Christ has come, we can be redeemed. We can be part of this family of God. We can be adopted as children. And he gives us a down payment of his inheritance. Think of that. The inheritance of the king is yours. And you've received the down payment. That's what Paul goes on to say. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Do you ever stop and think about that? That's why I wanted to hammer that so hard this morning. Heir to the kingdom. This world's falling apart. One day there'll be a new heavens and a new earth, and you will inherit it. Paul expands this idea in Romans chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Stop. I believe in God the Father Almighty. Do you believe it? The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are His children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That's you, beloved. And I want you to hold on to that truth. That's you. If you are in Christ, you can call God your Father. All the benefits that belong to the children of God are now credited to your account. He will provide all things for you, body and soul. Now here's a question for us. Can all people call God their Father? It's a tough one, isn't it? The answer has to be no. From what we've learned this evening, the answer has to be no. God is not the Father of all, is He? Before you are united to Christ, like I said before, you were not a father. God was not your father. Adam was your father. You were sons and daughters of Adam, living in wickedness. There is no such thing as this universal fatherhood of God. But you might be thinking, but we're all made in God's image. Well, of course we are. We're all made in His image. But He's only God, the Father, to those who have faith in His Son. Let me read this to you from John chapter 1. This will help us understand this concept of who can call God their Father. This is about Jesus here. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But here you go. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the Father, nor of the will of man, but of God. Beloved, are you born of God? Because if you are, you can call God your Father. And if you're not, you cannot call Him your Father. Christ has given you that right. He gave them the right to become children of God. If you were in Christ, God is your heavenly Father. You're co-heirs with Christ to the kingdom of God with all the benefits that come with it. How awesome is it that we get to pray, Our Father who art in heaven? That's another thing. We pray all the time. We don't just stop and think about it. That's a privilege to pray that prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. The world doesn't get to pray that prayer. So we have a truly loving Father. And now finally this evening, we go to our third point. God, the faithful Father. So we have an almighty Father. We have a loving Father. We also have a faithful Father who will always have our back, no matter what. Who will never break a promise. The last part of answer 26, He will turn to my good whatever adversity He sends me in this sad world. Now that's a sentence, isn't it? That He's going to send me adversity? Whatever adversity He sends upon me. You just told me God was a loving Father. Why is He going to send me adversity? Why is he going to send evil upon us? What's the Heidelberg getting at here? What's the catechism trying to teach us? I want to say two things about this. Like it says, we live in a sad world. We live in a fallen world. There is sin everywhere. When you wake up and look in the mirror, sinner. And we're forgiven. Think about the world. You know where we read this term, the sad world, in the Latin translation of a Heidelberg Catechism? It says this, in this veil of tears. In this veil of tears. Isn't that how life is sometimes? Bad things are going to happen. That's a given. So when we ask the question, why, we're not going to get the answer to that all the time. Right? The secret things belong to the Lord. Over and over in the Psalms, we read, how long, O Lord? They're asking that question, why is this happening? Why are the evil prospering? One pastor writes, we do not know God's providence ahead of time, and we should not seek to know it. That's not our business. Our choices are our business. But even those are comprehended within God's perfect, wise, good, and sovereign decree. God will provide in this veil of tears. God's going to turn to good the things that he sends our way in this sad world. We've all heard Romans 8, chapter 28. We've all heard this text. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. So why does he send these things our way? The only answer is to make us more like Jesus. It's to make us more like his son. That's why we go through the process. That's why we have to live this life. The second thing I want us to look at is that very last section. He is able. He is able to do this because he's Almighty God. Not only is he able, he desires to do this because he's a faithful father. Because we can understand he is able. He's Creator God. What is he not able to do? That's the easy part. The second part's the harder one. He desires to do this because he's a faithful father. Again, do you believe that? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. He desires to do this because he's faithful. Our God's a good God, isn't he? Who is like our God, the psalmist cries out. With our God, you never have to worry. Our faithful father will never not care for his children for the sake of Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be pain-free. Of course, we've all felt pain. That adversity comes. Sometimes we don't like it. But his desire is to do this because he's faithful, to love us. One of the things I want to end with tonight is that we need to always remember that we belong to him, body and soul, in life and in death. Our God and Father, he's the Almighty God. He's the loving Father. He's a faithful Father. And this is the last time I'm going to ask this question this evening. Do you believe this? Do you believe? Because that's what we proclaim. I believe. And I pray you do. I pray that you believe everything that you confess. And as we go through this, I hope every point of all the 12 articles, we have more of a grasp of who our God is. So when we say that every week, we really, truly know who he is. And we can love him with all of our heart, with our whole being. That's my prayer. Let us pray. Father God, man, you are good. You are almighty. You're the creator God. Nothing's too hard for you. But you're also the loving God who loved us so much you sent your son to die for us, to make us part of your family. And Father God, you're faithful to the very end. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. You'll never leave us when we fall down in the mud. But you love us. You'll pick us up. You'll put us back on the path. Oh, Lord, help us to know that. Help us to that when we say, I believe this, oh, that we believe. That we believe. Because we're co-heirs with Christ in the kingdom of God. Oh, that is an awesome thing to know. We pray this in your son's name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, when the music begins...